And now the opinion page. Marcia Dyson argued in a recent opinion piece, it is high time for black folk to stop beating down on those of our race who dare lift their voices to offer constructive challenges to the White House. The latest example, Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters. As part of a traveling town hall in Detroit this month, the Congresswoman complained that President Obama is not doing enough to help black Americans, especially on the issue of unemployment. She asked the crowd for permission for her and her congressional colleagues to represent their views, even if it means publicly criticizing the performance of the president.
When you tell us it's all right,
it's all right.
It's all right.
Tell us it's all right, and you unleash us, and you tell us you're ready for us to have this conversation. We're ready to have the conversation.
That's Congresswoman Maxine Waters speaking earlier this month in Detroit. And we'd like to hear from African Americans who have criticized the president. What kind of reaction did you get? Or do you try to avoid talking negatively about the president? Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Marcia Dyson's opinion piece, Take Me to the Waters, is featured in the Huffington Post's Black Voices. She joins us now in Studio 3A. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you for having me.
Why do you think Maxine Waters faced such a backlash for speaking out about her frustrations with the president?
Well, I believe that Congressman Waters, like a lot of African Americans, really respect and love President Obama. We know that his historic rise as an African-American to the top post in our country is one that is prized, one in which many people dreamed of as we come off the celebration of remembering Dr. King's memorial dedication this past weekend. And it seems as if an attack on him is an attack on that particular sense of black pride. And also, we all know that the president has been under attack, which seems quite racist in many arenas, and we don't want to be the ones to hurl the stones at him because of the hardships that he suffered around race in America. But I think that what she was arguing, if you listen to her piece, it really had a church tone to it, that she was asking permission to, as we do the call and response in the African American church, like, you don't hear me now, which in other words, you know, can I have permission to do this, because she understands the sensitivity of the complexity of the president being an African-American man, whom normally we would see as our pharaoh, who in perspective really looks like our prophet, but he really isn't. So she had to ask that permission to unleash them.
Well, in that call and response, people responded. You heard them say, it's
That's
all right.
Right. It's all right. I think that the economic situation really put people to set aside that sensibility of the swelling of black pride, which is great. But when you have to look at your children who you're not able to properly feed or to send away to college, or the husband who lost his job, and you know, or you may have lost your home, then you have to say stop. But really what she was trying to say and what I was trying to put forth in my piece, which got some criticism, is that if we do not speak to this president, regardless of his pigmentation, then we really are setting ourselves up in the future not to be able to speak with power to the seat of power for those future presidents who might more likely be non-black.
In your piece, you made a point of saying that you had been a Hillary Clinton supporter in the primary process. Mm-hmm. Why did you think that was an important piece of information for your readers?
To let them know that as an African-American woman who grew up in the city of Chicago when it was very racist, that I had to make a choice beyond pigmentation and even gender, that I wanted to be a thoughtful citizen. And this was what the 2008 campaign was supposed to have been all about. The change message of Senator then Obama and Hillary message as well, you know, all the words of hope. And the only way that you could do that is to have not only a revolution of politics, but an evolvement of politics as well. And I wanted to put that for people who knew me, that I did everything black. I mean, I shocked myself by holding this white woman's hand, you know, especially in the South, the reality of how do I take this woman and explain her to black men with silver hair who can remember men swinging from trees like fruit, that strange fruit that Billie Holiday would sing about, or to people who had been in their memory have the incisors of dogs barking and water holes on their grandparents. How do I do this? So that's the reason why I mentioned that I was thoughtful about it. And knowing that anyone who knew me well, too, knew that if I was holding Hillary's hand, that I was also critiquing her, you know, and I didn't have to use the words of romance like I love her. Someone asked, was I her fan? No, I respected her, just as I respected her husband, but I was also able to take President Clinton to task. He was not my first black president, and I wouldn't even say that Obama is my first black president. He's the first president that I hoped that I could have a conversation with my community without feeling as if I was stepping on any toes.
Let's hear from Abel in Clemson, South Carolina. Welcome to Talk of the Nation, Abel.
Good afternoon. You know, as an African American, I have been somewhat disappointed in the lack of attention that the president has paid to black issues. If you look historically, every president from Reagan gave us Martin Luther King Day, Bush championed the Civil Rights Act or Civil Rights legislation. You had President Clinton saving affirmative action, and then President Bush, the second Bush, appointing more African Americans than anybody. But there's nothing you can point to that President Obama has done to champion African America. We have a high unemployment rate. He seems to be ashamed or afraid to take any steps that would identify himself with African Americans. That has been the frustration a lot of people have had. And, you know, you get the criticism where you're naive when you say President Obama hasn't done much for African Americans. And I just like to, you know, figure out how do you navigate that minefield.
And Abel, when you talk about this, do you have people say, don't pile on, he's getting enough criticism from white voters, you don't need to join in?
Right. That's the standard line that, you know, as African Americans, we have to, you know, join forces and just support the man, and, you know, and that's a rational thought. But, you know, I gave money, I stood in line, I did a whole bunch of things. I expected more from him than I would have gotten from McCain. Right now, I'm beginning to think I probably would have gotten more from McCain than Obama as far as, you know, dealing with African American issues.
Yeah, Abel, thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Marcia Dyson, do you think that the president has not done enough for African Americans?
I think that the president has done some things for the African American community. I think it has been in their miscommunication to the African American community exactly what they have done. I don't think it's because he's afraid as an African descent president to say, hey, give a high five up to the African American community. I don't believe that at all. But then you look at, you know, let's look at the teabaggers. The reason why they can press their people think predominantly white party about their issues is because they raise their voices, which made the Republican Party move in a certain direction that maybe unintentionally it really didn't want to go, whether it's to the extreme right. But it was because they raised their voices, and no one says, look, all those white people are criticizing the white Republican Party or white president, you know, or the gays, you know, bombarding Obama, which they did, or the Latino community raising their voices to Obama. And at those particular times in which they raised their voice, he also raised a concern and addressed some of the issues. So the thing about it is that this is another educational moment in politics for American citizens, that the people, the constituency base who do not ask for something will not get anything regardless of pigmentation. And the president and his communication officers must do a better job in telling us what they have done for that. I know, done for the African American community. I do know that they have done quite a bit around jobs and education and unemployment, and even what they're doing with small businesses, but they have not done it. And for whatever reason, I hope that they make better in the future of relaying those messages to the people.
Let's hear from Alex in Charlotte, North Carolina. Alex, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Oh, thank you. Great show. My comment was, you know, my family's always been politically involved and informed, and so, you know, I've criticized the president before of things I think he's doing, and so has my family, but mostly about him, the strength of his leadership, you know. But as far as being able to do more for African Americans, you know, what can he do that isn't locked up by Congress? You know, there's checks and balances. But I think the good thing out of this, of what he's doing, is that now you're starting to see more African Americans become empowered to actually speak. Because this is somebody that looks like us in the White House, so we should feel more comfortable speaking to them, speaking our minds about what we want. And when we become a more powerful constituency, those benefits will reap themselves no matter what color the president is.
Alex, thanks for your call. Marcy, do you agree with Alex?
Yes, I think people are really asking Obama, you know, we loved his change message. We love his hope message. But what we really want is like that audacity to show up. You know, a president is the greatest seat of power in the world and definitely within our nation. So we don't expect for someone to get this power and to be muted on the concerns of the people who are themselves American citizens despite their pigmentation. So we just want that audacity, that voice, that strength that we know that he have. He has this quiet strength, but it's time now for him to really flex his muscles.
Why do you think now is the time? What has changed?
Well, I think that there are the whole American landscape is in turmoil around, you know, economics, education, our ceiling debt is not really over, our international affairs. You know, we forget that our international policies sort of dictate or will direct our national concerns, you know. So we need a person who's going to actually show this particular strength. If not, then we will all be washed up. And one thing I know that the president must look at, too, is that when we talk about poverty, we always talk about poverty and put on the face of that the poster-born girl is African-American citizens, but that's not true. In the red states, that are there are the highest numbers of improvisation amongst the people, and they're in the Republican states. And I think that the president needs to say that and address that. This concern is of all American citizens. It really isn't about pigmentation at this time in history, and it really isn't definitely not about a party affiliation. It is about the needs of the people, and if we thought that we were tied to a ship, all on the one ship called the Titanic, then we're about to sink if we don't come on board to get the conversations across both of the aisles to go toward what is best, not for a party, not for a president, not for an individual, but really for the people of the United States of America.
My guest is Marcia Dyson. Her piece, Take Me to the Waters, was featured in Huffington Post's Black Voices. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. What has the reaction been to your piece? I saw that The Root did a sort of supportive piece in reaction to it. What have you heard from readers?
Well, I've gotten praise and I've gotten some criticism of my critique of it. But that's okay, because when I participated this week in some of the activities around the memory of Dr. King, when he died, he was at his very low popular state of his career. And I was reminded that only 10% of African Americans throughout the nation actually supported him and his work. And if he could do that, then I know that just writing an article, I could take whatever criticism may come. But I've been getting a lot of support, because it really hit hard to the people that if he can't do something, then we at least want to say something, because if we say something, then as a president, he will respond and won't feel as if it's the limitation or the guardian of one's color or race. It really is talking to the people that he said he wanted to govern well for.
Do you think that the hesitance to speak out is echoed by the administration? Do you think they discourage Black voters from criticism any more than any other voter?
I would think that, because they're well aware, too, that you have this, first of all, very precious individual, and the people usually around any president are close advisors or personal former friends of them, and they want to protect the personality and the image and the integrity of the office in which they are employed. And you expect for them to be somewhat defensive, but they have to also remember why they're there in support of him. And that is, again, for the people. So, yes, I think that they are sensitive and well to be so, and defensive, well to be so. But right now, we had to put down our guards and compromise and to accept extra taxes if need be. They need to put down their defensive as well.
William joins us now on the phone from Tar Heel, North Carolina. Welcome to Talk of the Nation, William.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I think I got two things I want to talk about. One is, the president had the opportunity to make history. He had two Supreme Court nominees that he had a chance to put a black woman on. He didn't even look their way. And sometimes, me and my son have to back and forth about three or four times a week on the same issue and the others about Obama. He's one of the ones that you shouldn't say anything about him just, you know, because of his race. I look at it as, I mean, Bill Clinton, to me, when you look at his cabinet, he had more black people in his cabinet than Obama does. And we are sometimes creatures of our own surroundings. So I feel like he needs to have more people of color around him, letting them know what's going on with the people of color. Because you don't have those voices in your ear, you're not going to know what's going on. I'm talking about senior advisors, not Al Sharpton. I like him. I'm talking about people that's going to tell him what's going on in the hood, and he listens to it. And he doesn't.
And William, when your son says, you know, support your own, don't say this stuff out loud, what do you say back?
Well, most of the time I just put my hand in my ear and listen to him, because he don't really know that much about politics. All he knows is that we got a black president in the office and we shouldn't say anything. But I'm not like that. I mean, if the president wants the support of the black community, he's going to have to pick it up. We're not going to just support him because he's black. I'm looking for the person who's going to do the best job. And right now, I'm real disappointed in what he's doing. He don't even reach out to us. Now next month, next year when election time starts, oh yeah, he'll reach out. But right now, he hasn't even put it. The other week when he went on that tour, he could have went to a black community or a Hispanic community and talked about jobs. But where did he go? Iowa.
William, thank you so much for your call. And Marcia, do you think that some of this frustration might translate into lack of votes?
The lack of votes for the president and the unenthusiasm to actually get up, get past the rain, to figure out what pennies out of the cookie jar you're going to use to go get on the bus to vote as rather to feed your children, because you're under this besiegement of this economic time that we find ourselves. And it's something that the president would have to address. And I wouldn't say anything against what this brother has said. If you can, there's this church song that says, while we are waiting, please don't pass me by. So, yeah, you have to go past us, stop by, give us a handshake, give us a high five or a fist bump or something, because we want to be acknowledged, not because we got you into the office of the presidency only, but because we have issues that we want to address and know that you see and hear us as well.
Marcia Dyson's opinion piece, Take Me to the Waters, is featured on the Huffington Post Black Voices. There's a link to it at npr.org if you click on Talk of the Nation. She joined us here in Studio 3A. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.